This podcast is brought to you by Stellar Blu Technologies, the official website developer and multimedia company for The Mild Music. Please check us out at stellarbluetechnologies.com. The Mild Music offers 1 mile of free musical performances with over 200 artists as well as over 900 shows throughout the 4 days of the event. This is a must-attend annual event in the Fox Cities. It's growing significantly every year. Over 80,000 people attended in 2018, and it's even getting bigger every year. Love to introduce Let's Be Leonard. Thanks for coming in, guys. We really appreciate you spending your time with us.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Hey, just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Mild Music, how you found out about it, how you started coming up here. Share us a little bit how that went.
So we have our friends in Wild Adriatic who are from like the same hometown as us, basically. And they've been playing it for a long time and have always talked it up. And we were like, man, we really got to go. So we just started playing in Appleton and until we played in front of the right people, I guess, or something.
They even have a song called Appleton. And it's about how much they love Appleton.
Cool. That's good to hear. Yeah. Share with us your creative process. I mean, where do you guys start? How much collaboration do you do? Start with the lyrics? Do you start with the melody? You start with the riff and compose? And what does that look like?
For us, we usually come to the table. There's three songwriters in Let's Be Leonard, and we usually come to the table with a song, like, sketched out, mostly done. And then I think the cool part about Let's Be Leonard is we don't, like, exactly tell each other what to do all the time. It's kind of like loosey-goosey. So we bring it to the group, everybody adds their own thing, and then it becomes a Let's Be Leonard song.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. If there is a difference, how do you guys deal with that? What's the, you know, has there been any creative differences that you guys had to navigate?
Well, personally, I like to give leeway, almost like practice giving leeway to other musicians to play what they want to play. If I have an idea of, if I want somebody to play something a certain way, I'm usually just going to keep my mouth shut about it. I can just do that on my own, you know, I can just do that in my bedroom if I want to have it sound a certain way. Because playing music with people, I feel, is about a collective sharing of music.
I think after a while, too, I think it opens up, like, their ideas more, and it all gels together into, like, a cohesive thing. So after a while of not telling somebody what to do, it becomes something else.
So if I'm hearing you each kind of come with a sketch-out idea for a song and then collaborate after the sketch-out to finalize, to tweak it and get it where you want it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Cool. Have you ever, as a group, come up with a single song, or has that been kind of individuals and bringing ideas together?
I think most of the time, if we all write a song together, if we're all sitting in a room together with our instruments, it's usually an instrumental that we'll write. And I think if it would have words at that point, it'd be Carl throwing in some words, because he's pretty good at spontaneously coming up with a melody. Like, for instance, there's this one little song where I started out with a bass line, and then Matt put a guitar lick on top of it, and it just all kind of spontaneously happened. So that kind of thing does happen once in a while. We like to do that sort of thing. And then the vice versa, the other side of that would be me, Connor, Matt, or Carl will have a song written on acoustic guitar, and then we'll come in and we'll do it that way, all prepared beforehand. But yeah, we do the spontaneous creation of a song collaboration together.
Sounds like an interesting chemistry between you guys. You know, being able to, you know, be open to other ideas and accept other people's ways, even though if they may not be exactly how you would do it, it was totally up to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. That's unique.
Thank you.
That's unique. It really is. What's an average day for you guys? I mean, aside from the travel logistics and the nightmares of getting from place to place and figuring everything out.
I guess, like, our day-to-day on the road is, on the road, we're just driving and then finding, like, a nice coffee shop to hang out in and then setting up and hopefully getting a nice sound check so we can loosen up a little bit, because Let's Be Leonard is very, like, improv-based, too, so a lot of our songs will go off the tracks, and so you got to be a little bit prepared for that, I guess, going into it, like, a little warmed up.
If we're not on the road, we're working at jobs. Actually, Matt, he's a sound tech, or a guitar tech for the band Pine Grove. I work in a kitchen in Saratoga, Carl works at a lighting warehouse in Glens Falls. Paul works at Spectre Coffee in Glens Falls. That's where we're from in New York. And then who knows what Connor does. Now, he works at a coffee shop, too. But that's when we're not on the road.
So is it kind of a challenge when you get the time off of work to travel like this?
Well, not for me personally, because I work at a restaurant in Saratoga, and the owner, he books us every week. So we play there every week in a bluegrass band. Not all of us in the band, but some of us. And so he's kind of cool with, he respects the music thing that I am pursuing. So if I need 2 weeks off here, 1 week off there, he's like, yeah, that's fine.
Very
plus
cool.
I make minimum wage too. And then for everyone else, it's pretty easy. Yeah, we can get time off.
Cool.
To come tour.
Cool. I would think that would be a bit of a challenge sometimes. It sounds like you got a real flexible manager, so that makes things a lot easier.
Got to keep it flexible.
Got to keep it flexible, yeah. That's coming through. That's very clear. Your mindset is about being open. Is there any hidden or cryptic messages that you guys like to put in your songs that maybe only you're aware of, or is it just in your face the way you feel?
Maybe subconsciously. There's a lot of themes about, like, I don't know, growing up in America and, like, childhood mixed with, like, falling in love later on in life, and just like it doesn't go too crazy deep. Maybe some crowbar.
I wouldn't say that cryptic. I wouldn't say that there's anything too cryptic. Maybe Carl's a little cryptic, but I don't know. I'm not really sure. And hidden messages, I don't think so. But
okay,
I feel like there's different ways of listening to the music, and you can hear a song one way and maybe listen back and hear it a different way, and kind of catch a different meaning.
Where you are in your head and heart at the time you hear the song.
Yeah.
You know, depending upon how, at least for me, how it affects me, I would imagine it's true for others as well.
Yeah.
Not that I'm the universal representation of humanity by any stretch.
Maybe you are. And poetry is an eye of the beholder, I guess is what the mm-hmm. saying is. There's a saying, but it's like...
Well, art is the eye of the beholder, but art, poetry is art. So, you know, it's...
And a lot of songwriters in poetry, they don't like to say, like, okay, this is what it's about right here, is this line and this line and this line. Some people do, I guess, but it's also very common for poetry to just, you know, you write a poem and you just leave it, and people can interpret their own meaning from it, which I feel like is a great thing to do.
I think also it's weird for me as a songwriter, sometimes I find new meaning in my own songs, because we've been playing some of these songs like 5-6 years now, so like by the time we get to it at one show in some random place in the country, you're just like almost tearing up on stage singing it because it has a new meaning.
I interviewed someone just a little earlier, and one of the things that she had commented was doing live performances and the feedback from the audience helped evolve her songs. Have you guys ever made that experience? You know, when you write a song and then you start performing it, that song evolves over time?
Yeah, we try to rearrange stuff. Either live, like on stage, we'll like figure things out together. And it kind of is very crowd dependent. And some songs, after a tour is over, we're like, we can't play this song this way anymore. We must rearrange it. And then we'll do that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Interesting, yeah.
I think also we may have a habit of writing a song and then playing it out live a lot before we go into the studio and do it.
Okay.
But it could also be the opposite, too. So we're very going both ways with that thing.
Fascinating. What's your favorite part about what you guys do, you know, I mean, as far as your line of work? The thing that drives you, I mean, you get up in the morning, you love music, everything else like that, but to get up and go out and do the performances and all the practices and everything else, there has to be a deeper drive. So sure, well, this is what that looks like for you guys.
Matt, you want to go first?
Yeah. I think for me, it's there's this one moment that for me as a performer I'm always chasing, and it's like at the top of a song when you just step on one pedal and it, I don't know. It just something clicks, and it's very beautiful, and you're always looking for that, I think.
Yeah.
going off that, I really am too looking for that transcendent headspace. Good, just to put it bluntly, good feelings in the body and love and presence, really, through music. Music can make you more present and in the moment. I feel like that's my favorite thing about it, and I just love to sing. I just love to use my voice and sing a good song. And like you said, wake up in the morning, and what's your favorite part of the job or whatever, but it's if I can sing in the morning, that'd be great. But usually it doesn't work like that. But my favorite part is singing.
Yeah. Is singing. Oh, yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So your performance venues, you know, you perform in a lot of different places. What do you have a preference or an ideal venue that you tend to gravitate to more than others? Or is that not a thing?
I think when we're home, we have a lot of, like, our hometown venues that they each have a different vibe. Like, where Crowbar works is this place called the Barrel House. And we've played, one time we did a three-night run there just because, like, we're comfortable and we play well there. And then there's another place in town called Cafe Lena, and we play, like, acoustic shows there. And that's, like, really special and intimate because it's only a 100-person venue, all seated. And then there's, like, a huge venue in Saratoga called Putnam Place. And that one's cool because we get to be loud and, like, be, like, a rock band. I think those ones in our hometown are very special. But then also when we come here to Mile of Music, it's amazing to come and you're playing in front of all your friends that you never get to see because they're on the road all the time. So it's cool to look out in the crowd and be like, oh, there's, like, half of these bands that we, like, really love.
Yeah. The venues that I like to play are the preferably the bigger ones, the bigger stages. I feel like Leonard has works well on that type of setting. There's more space in between the sounds, and we can really play with each other more. And we've played a lot of different kinds of venues. We've played the smallest rooms, the smallest stages. And we're a five-piece rock band, so it's kind of like crowded up there sometimes. So the bigger ones are preferably my favorite. And like Matt said with Cafe Lena, it's kind of acoustic, more acoustic, and it's very intimate. And I feel like we do that well, too.
Cool. Very good. Anything else you guys want to share with your fans that we haven't covered?
I said I like singing, but I really like guitar solos, too.
Okay. Cool.
Check out our album, Static. It came out last year, I think, right? Yeah. 2018? Yeah.
So share people where they can find that.
Spotify.
Every music platform available. You can listen to Let's Be Leonard. We have two records out. We're planning on making a third one later this year if we can get around to it.
Thanks for coming, guys. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate you taking the time. Yeah, really, really do enjoy it. You know, be sure to add Mile Music to your must-attend summer festivals. There's no other venue where you can experience more music that is absolutely free. 60 locations, 200 artists, 900 shows. Where else can you go and experience that? Stellar Blu Technologies, the official website developer and multimedia company for the Mile of Music, wants to thank Let's Be Leonard for spending their time with us and sharing their experiences.
Thank you. Thank you.